Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to San Clemente Punk for November 18th, 2013. San Clemente Punk is proudly part of the Fighting Words Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. Fighting Words is a six-day-a-week network with Monday night being San Clemente Punk, Tuesday night being replays right now of Big Dog Radio with Big Dog Benny Henderson. Wednesday night is Sports Night with Tommy G, where Butch, Tommy G, and Don Henderson discuss the happening in the world of sports. Thursday night is the return of McGee's Backroom, and I'm really excited we got Dave McGuigan back on. It's definitely the best show on the network. Friday night is Rebel Rock Radio, where you'll hear anything from metal to punk to just about anything. Drellinger is the host of that. And Saturday night is the flagship of Fighting Words Radio Network with Fighting Words. Tonight I am very, very excited about the show we have. I was made aware of a record label called Chapter 11 Records. You can find them on Facebook. If you look up Chapter 11 Records, you have to spell out 11. It's just not the letters, Chapter 11. You can look those guys up, and they have, you know, it's a small label. It's a DIY label, but it is a great label, boasting some really, really good names. And we're going to have Ian from Chapter 11 as our guest in about 15, 20 minutes. And then we're going to interview some of the people in his on his record label. We'll have one of the members of Bobby Hollywood and the Quitters. We're going to have one of the members of Stellar Corpses, who are getting a lot of play actually on Faction on XM Radio. That's where I've heard of these guys. With their song Dead Star Driving. Roadside Bomb, which I'm really excited to, we're going to be talking to Ben, and I'm really excited because I really, really like those guys. And then Custom Fit, we're going to be talking to a member of Custom Fit, which is a Santa Cruz-based oi punk band that boasts a female singer and a female drummer. And I'm always really eager to get females that are in the punk scene because, you know, their experiences are a lot different than a man, you know, because there's a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot of misogyny, but there's some misogyny that exists within the punk scene. And, you know, I want to get their take on it. So hopefully we'll get, I'm not sure who we're going to have on from the band, but they also have bands like The Randoms, Young Ideas, Stagger and Fall. This promises to be a great show. I am going to play, we won't have anybody from The Randoms, Young Idea, and Stagger and Fall, but I'm going to play songs from each one of those guys really quick. We're going to start off with The Randoms. This is The Randoms with a really good song. I like this one, Road Rage. Okay, that was the Randoms. And you can, those guys do have a Facebook page. That's RANDUMBS. They're out of Sonoma, California, and they are on Chapter 11 Records. And Chapter 11's got a lot of street, oi. It's just a really well-rounded, you know, psychobilly with Stellar Corpses. It's a very, very well-rounded label. And we should have Ian on here in a little, in about 7 or 8 minutes. But I want to play another song from off of the Chapter 11 label. The Randoms, like I said, you can find them on Facebook. The band consists of, how is it? Pull this up real quick. OGs are Saul, Johnny Smokes, Ian, and Noah. And they had a show, the 26th Sonoma. And I love their page because it says the Randoms U.S. Tour. And everything was canceled except for that one show. But you can check out the Randoms. Just go by on their Facebook page, RANDUMBS. We're going to move on now to who we have next, Young Idea. Young Idea is a band I can't find a lot about, but I'm going to be asking Ian about. They're kind of a surf punk band. They're out of Santa Cruz, California. And this song is off the War Paint album. This is actually Santa Cruz. Let me find it real quick. Got so many damn songs on here. Okay, this is Young Ideas with, or Young Idea, rather. And great, it didn't load. And it's not going to play for us. So, you know what, we're going to move on to Stagger and Fall, and we'll come back to Young Ideas, because for some reason it won't play for us. We've had problems with the board before, guys. You all know that. But anyway, let me try and pull this up. Young Idea with Santa Cruz.
We'll be right back.
Okay, that was a young idea with Santa Cruz. Kind of surf punky, very, very good band, though. And like I said, they're on the Chapter 11 record label. We're going to move on now to another band that I'm really impressed with. I mean, this is just Chapter 11 is a very impressive record label. They're a small label, and they're doing it right because they have just some great bands they've signed. This is Stagger and Fall with Red, White, and Blue. Okay, that was Stagger and Fall with Red, White, and Blue. We are joined right now by Ian. Ian is the owner of and founder of Chapter 11 Records, a very, very good and I believe, up-and-coming record label. Out of where are you guys based out of, Ian?
Well, right now we're currently out of Santa Cruz, but there's actually five of us involved in the label, and we're kind of spread out around California.
Well. Okay, I want to get into that in a little bit, but yeah. Now, Ian, first off, tell us about yourself. How did you get involved in the record industry?
Well, nobody would put out our crappy band.
That happened all the time. I mean, Glenn Danzig.
Right.
I had Erie Vaughn last week. It was the same way.
Right.
Minor Threat. I mean, a lot of great music came from people that wouldn't get any listens.
Well, it was funny because when we first started playing in, you know, early 90s, we recorded in the randoms and we sent it around and with just rejection letter after rejection letter after rejection letter. And finally, you know, me and actually Ben from the Roadside Bombs decided to start a label. And so we did. And actually, Chapter 11 was called Cool Skin Records, and we had about four releases on it before we changed it to Chapter 11.
Okay. All right. Now, you play in the randoms presently, right?
Well, yeah, we're kind of a half-ass band right now.
Okay. Well, I played Road Rage, which is a great song. But how did you You play guitar, I believe?
I play the bass.
Bass, okay. How did you get started with the bass?
Well, we were at a bar in Sonoma. We're all originally from Sonoma, California. And we're at this place called the Valley of the Moon Saloon. And my buddy Noah says, hey, we're putting a punk band together. and you need to play the bass. And, you know, I'm like, I don't play the bass. And he said, ah, it's okay, you can fake it, we'll figure it out. And so, you know, there we go, we started.
Yeah. I was a bass player myself, and it's, I hate when bass players say that, like, yeah, I just picked it up one day, because I don't want people to know.
No, nobody does that.
Yeah.
Nobody does that. Well, you got too many guitar players, and then somebody loses a bet.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, how
that's how we started, you know, and we did it just to, you know, have another excuse to drink more beers with your friends.
There you go. It's a good reason.
Yeah. 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 Small town, nothing to do. Cool. Let's make some punk rock and have some beer.
Oh, yeah. Now, is there anybody in your family that's talented musically that you can point to kind of as a source of your talent?
Talent. No, there's no musicians in my family. Not
right.
Really.
What? How did they feel when you started getting into punk rock?
They didn't like that. It was a long time ago. You know, I'm old.
Right.
And I remember it. In fact, once again, Ben, he's been involved my whole life, you know. Gave me my first Mohawk. It was like 1981 or 2 or something. And we came home and... Yeah, my parents said, Ben, you got to leave, and I was shortly shown the door thereafter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They weren't digging it too much.
Well,
so,
you know.
Whatever, you got to drop out of high school and do what you got to do.
Exactly. Now, was the Randoms your first band?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Huh. And then... you know, off and on, we took a considerable break for, you know, 10 years almost, and then just kind of put it back together a while ago. And it struggles, you know. Everybody's all over the state, like I said. You know, a couple of guys
right.
up in Sonoma, Noah's out in the Central Valley, me down here in Santa Cruz. So it's real challenging to get together. In fact, they played a show. The other night in Sonoma without me and Noah, just because of the logistics.
Right.
So,
right.
But the talk is that we're going to get in this winter and do a new LP. So we got that going for us.
Now, did you, when you started playing and everything, were you guys touring much, or was it kind of just, bathrooms,
you know,
and back doors kind of thing?
Yeah, it was mostly around the Bay Area, San Francisco, Sonoma County. You know, we'd go down to Santa Barbara and play a bunch, and out to Reno, and West Coast mostly, up and down the West Coast. And then towards the end of our first, you know, I call it the first run,
right.
We got on some notable tours. We toured with Dropkick Murphys a couple of times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. We actually were out in your town. We played Salt Lake City once.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that was in, like, I don't know, late 90s.
All right.
98, 99 maybe. It was us and Dropkick Murphys and Oxymoron. That was a good time. And then we went to the East Coast and did kind of the same thing with the Bruisers and Dropkick Murphys and Working Stiffs and a couple other bands. It was good. So, I mean, no, like, real full U.S. tours, a lot of West Coast.
Right, right.
Now, we're all working jerks. Hard to take that kind of time off.
Yeah, no, I hear you. now, when you first started getting into punk rock, who were some of the bands that, you know, were your earliest influences? And then when you actually joined a band, was there any musician that you tried to, model yourself or mold yourself after?
When I first started listening to punk rock, I mean, it's kind of, you know, tired hearing the list, you know, Black Flag.
Right. Right.
I was a real big Social Unrest fan. All the San Francisco bands. Mostly like the California stuff. I really liked it. I liked that sound. I didn't start getting into English punk rock till later on. Then I guess I'd say when we started playing, there was one band that really kind of stood out for me was the Swingin' Utters. You know,
right.
in the
right.
Streets of San Francisco days.
Yeah.
You know, that was like, wow, okay. You know, there was that weird period in the late 80s where punk rock was kind of shitty. You know,
right.
And at least out here. And when we got into early 90s, you know, there was this new thing starting to go on around San Francisco. And my buddy invited me to a Swingin' Utters show, and I was blown away. And that kind of restored my faith in aggressive punk rock. You know?
Right. And there was, you're right. I mean, there was a lull there. You know, punk rock for me died. When they started calling Blink 182 punk, I mean, I was like, "That's not punk rock," you know.
No,
that's
no.
just, you know. And even, I mean, I'm 45 years old, so I've, you
me
know,
too.
And I grew up in Philadelphia. Well,
right.
So you've seen the golden age. You remember the the, you know, all that stuff. And I love punk rock. I love good punk rock. Blink 182 ain't fucking punk rock.
It's not. Let's give them credit where credit is due. They play good pop music.
Yeah.
And it's polished and it's friendly and it's high energy and it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's not punk rock. It's not scary. They're not trying to change anything. You know, I like it aggressive and angry. You know, a good friend of mine told me it either needs to make me want to punch somebody or laugh.
Exactly.
Okay.
I like that.
You know? Okay,
yeah.
that's good. Well, hopefully I can do both.
Yeah, you're right. You know, there was then, you know, the whole grunge thing. And grunge was just punk rock that was packageable, you know.
Exactly.
And then all these bands were like, oh, we're going to be grunge. You know, Nirvana
good.
Was a punk band. You know,
they were.
Just,
absolutely.
Yeah. That they just played some music that was, I wouldn't say more pleasing, but it just was more marketable, more appealing.
I mean, what's punker
public.
Than climbing to the top of the ladder and blowing your fucking head off?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we were actually playing Seattle the night he did that, which was pretty ironic considering that was one of my favorite songs we wrote on the next 7-inch. We wrote a song called The Headless Grunger.
Yeah, it's, you know, and Seattle, you know, Seattle, and then everybody's like, oh, Seattle, that, you know, they invented grunge. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
They just had somebody find a name, you know.
Right.
It's
right.
Yeah, and Seattle's always been a good punk city, though. I mean, there's some really good punk cities. It was a good punk city. I wouldn't say it was great, but you know, it's.
I mean, you can find. I believe you can find great punk rock in every city.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, try and find a city where you can't name a band that made an impact of some sort. It's hard.
Right.
You know? So, every town has their sound and their thing, and at that time, they had that sound, you know? It's hilarious. Pearl Jam releases that new record the other day. I don't know, a couple weeks ago they put out a new album, right?
Right.
So, I'm walking into stores, and now all of a sudden I'm hearing all kinds of old, like, Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and stuff, just because they kind of rekindled the fire with that stupid new record. Okay, neat. I mean, once again, I got to recognize what it is, and they had a sound that worked and was, like you said, marketable and packaged properly.
Yeah.
You know, that's my two cents on the grunge thing. I got lots of those records in my collection. They don't get much play, but, you know, there's some good music out of there.
There are. You know, you're exactly right. And you know, it'd really be myopic of anybody who's a music lover to just say, oh, well, that's shit, you know. At least listen to you know, before you buy it, but, you know, at least listen
sure.
to it.
Or so, go steal it on the internet. It's all out there.
Exactly. You know, and if you, there is, there's the possibility of hearing just about anybody. Everybody's got a damn Facebook page anymore.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know,
music
and,
now, you can get it anywhere. And really, if somebody wants any of our records, send me an email. I'll send you the digital files. That's cool. There, you can have it. We don't make any money. You can have it. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
And I actually, you guys have sent me emails before, and I finally, I looked at one, and I was like, man, I really like some of these bands. I like some of the names, and I really like the Roadside Bombs name. So I looked at those guys, and I was thoroughly impressed with what you guys have. Well, tell us who your lineup is. Who's the actual Chapter 11 lineup?
You mean the guys who were working on the label?
Well,
the bands that are actually on the label?
Both. Who works the label with you, and then your bands?
Okay. So the dudes that run the label are me and Ben, the singer of the Roadside Bombs.
Right.
And Noah, the guitar player for the Randoms.
Okay.
And Dusty, who is the singer for Stellar Corpses, and a friend of ours, White Chocolate.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
White Chocolate.
Yeah.
All right.
And so we all have roles, we all have stuff. I primarily do all of this kind of stuff and pushing and kind of overseeing the website and production of all the releases. And Noah is the crazy printer, and we do a lot of hand-printed covers and posters and stuff like that. And then Ben is kind of our, how do you say it? Yes, man.
Okay.
He rallies the troops. And Dusty, he handles all of the actual coding of the website and doing all of the IT stuff for us. And Alex handles White Chocolate. He handles all of the shipping.
All right.
And
how would
warehouse, so to speak, which is really my office.
Now, if a band, let's say a band wanted to contact you guys, how would they go about contacting you, sending you, some of their music?
They could either find us on Facebook. That's, come on, it's Facebook. That's how everybody finds anybody today, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Find us on Facebook, or our website is called corpidus.com, and that's where we distribute all of our records and a bunch of other labels. It's kind of an online mail order type of thing. They can find us through that.
Okay. All right. Now,
and once again, we started that because nobody would distribute our shitty label. So let's make our own, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I know how to spray paint a jacket. Fuck.
Now, who is your actual lineup for the label?
Well, right now, so once again, that 10-year break, like we all kind of got grown up and played grown up and had kids and kind of sort of did that thing for a little while. And then, like everybody else, hey, man, that was a lot of fun and we did that for a huge chunk of our life. Why don't we start doing it again? Right. And so I call it the sequel. First record out was the Roadside Bombs.
Okay.
Right. And so the active bands right now would be the Working Stiffs, the Roadside Bombs. I hate to say the Randoms are active because we just barely have a pulse. Same with Stagger and Fall. They're going through some serious lineup changes right now. The Young Idea plays a ton. Stellar Corpses tour all over the country. And Bobby Hollywood and the Quitters, they play a lot. And then our newest band that we just got a hold of is Custom Fit. And they're one of my faves these days. They're a female-fronted, oi kind of street punk band out of Santa Cruz.
Now, who are we going to have from Custom Fit on?
You're going to be talking to, let's see, who's it? Sabi.
And Sabi is the
She's
drummer?
The singer. She's
singer.
The singer. Yeah.
Good. Because I was hoping we would get her.
I'm trying to squeeze her. How long are you going to be available? Because she's working right now.
We'll stay on as long as we have to. I mean, we've got 2 hours, and then we can go into I can actually have another hour I can use, but it won't be live. It will be and people will be able, after the show is done, they can listen to it again just by clicking on the link, or they can download it by searching Fightin' Words with no G.
Yeah.
Just Fightin' Words for podcasts.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I will make sure, because she was concerned about getting off work in time, I will make sure that she can get a call in to you.
Great, great.
I think you're going to like them a lot. They're good.
Oh, I do. I've played their album quite a bit since you sent me those, you know, the tracks.
Cool.
You know, and it's she's an anomaly in punk rock because, you know, you and I, you know, we're both the same age. We've seen a lot of misogyny in punk rock, you know,
right.
And it's
right.
It's difficult for women a lot of times in the punk rock world. Even though
especially in the oi scene.
Oh yeah.
You know, like wow. Yeah, she's from Slovenia. She's rad. Yeah, she moved over here from Slovenia.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Yeah, and she gets it done. It's impressive to watch those guys play. They're a really great band.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with them. I think they're definitely up and coming.
Yeah, they play all over the state. And they just played the Pirates Press 9-year anniversary shows with Street Dogs and, you know, Bishop's Green was there, all kinds of bands. And they're doing their record release show in Oakland in December 14th, I think. And then we also have a show here in Santa Cruz on December 13th that I'm looking forward to going to.
All right. Now, as the Randoms and your musical, you know, taste, have they changed at all?
Not a bit. It's still so stupid. I mean, musical taste in the Randoms, it's the same. I mean, what we're putting out, like that record I sent you, somebody told me it was like our first full length, just kept playing. You know? I mean, we keep it real simple. We actually, so this is funny. We hadn't played together in about 12 years. And we decided to do that 7-inch, that the one I sent you, the Triumphant Return of.
Right.
And we all met at my house on Friday night and wrote the music and then went into the studio Saturday morning and recorded it. Yeah.
But that's good punk rock.
Well, you find a real easy recipe and don't fuck it up. But it was fun. It was very familiar and very fun.
Now I want to ask you a question because I've asked this to a lot of the old school punks that I've had interviews with and I've had a lot.
Right.
There's a well, back when we were kids, you remember the whole Mises a Pig thing with Jeff from Minor Threat. Jeff Nelson, and there was a lot of really good political punk rock out there. Reagan was great fodder for it.
Well, that dude did more for punk rock than anybody, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But it seems like people shy away from political punk anymore. Do you agree that, you know, there's just not much political punk going on right now?
I hate to say it, but I do agree, and it's funny. I've got an opinion. And that might be why a majority of the stuff that they're calling punk rock is so fucking watered down and chintzy. The kids don't have anything to be angry about.
No.
They don't. I mean, look at it. Look at how easy it is to walk into the fucking mall and get your crap.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what do they have to be angry about? It's all about information overload now, you know? It's too accessible.
Right. You know?
And as awesome as I think the internet and the social media and that whole thing is, it removes all regional vibe, you know, like Orange County doesn't have an Orange County sound anymore because the dude in Nebraska is playing it, you know, and you put out a thing on Facebook and it goes to 17,000 people, and then all of a sudden a guy tomorrow in Atlanta is playing your shit, you know.
Right.
I think it's rad because it's totally accessible, but it's just, it gets diluted in such quantity, I believe.
No, you're right. You know, it's it, back in the day, you had to be good to get noticed. You know, there was...
you did.
You know, there was,
and you know,
a friend of a friend.
You did have to be good to get noticed. And the other thing is I listen to a lot of stuff that we listened to when we were younger, and I think, wow, that's not that good.
Yeah.
But I thought it was great.
Right.
You know, it goes both ways for me.
Yeah, no, it, you know, there's a band out of D.C. right now called Beasts of No Nation. Love these guys. They're very political.
Right.
You know, but they're few and far. I mean, you don't have the bands that were jumping up and down and screaming and saying, hey, you know, we need to do something. We're, you know, we've become sheep. Now,
well,
it's just,
and
you know,
I think I got a little sidetracked there with your question, like the political aspect of punk rock today. The kids aren't angry, and when something pops
right.
up to make them angry, all of a sudden something else flashy is shown to them to distract them. You know, there's plenty to be angry about if you look, you know, and you pay attention. But why do that? Because there's a new iPhone being launched tomorrow.
Exactly.
You know, like, what do you mean you're upset about Monsanto or the treatment of Russian political prisoners when we've got these other things that you could buy?
Right, right.
You know,
there's an app
pay attention. Pay attention. Yeah, we got an app for that. We got an app to make you pretty. We got an app to make you, you know, desirable. Don't be angry about the shit that you should be angry about. Because just go buy some more stuff and get a bigger TV and you'll be cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, right?
No, you're
but
right.
But I tell
you're
what,
right.
when you get Ben on the phone, oh, he's got plenty to say.
About the political
system today.
Yeah. I love what Ben's doing. The roadside bombs are just, you know,
they're fabulous.
Way they sing. Yeah. The passion.
They're fabulous. And you know what? Like I said, I've been pals with him since 1980. He's the one who taught me about punk rock when we were kids. And he's been in bands since we were just out of high school back in the 80s. And the dude's amazingly talented and one of my best friends. We've been in each other's weddings the whole bit. And, you know, the guy just continually puts out really good music, really, really good music. He was in another band called the Muggers that was amazing, and just on down the line. I played in a band with him called the Feelers. They were great, and, you know, just a solid dude. You're going to enjoy talking with him.
So he's had a pretty extensive musical career then.
Oh, yeah.
Has it always been, well, I'll ask him, but has it always been, you know, politically based?
Not so much, but very socially, you know, very aware.
Right.
He's my wordsmith. You know, he's real crafty.
I like how you put that, aware. You know, and that's, it's like you said, I mean, that's not something that seems to be in great abundance right now.
No. We could sing about rims. you know, I mean, my God, pop music today, I'll blow my fucking brains out.
Yeah, it's just it's just the same crap again and again and again. And
that's what's rad. There's a lot of really cool labels out there right now putting out a lot of really good music that nobody knows about, you know, and then again that a lot of people know about. You know, I'm really digging what Hostage Records is doing out of Los Angeles right now, you know, and TKO Records out of L.A. is putting out all kinds of rad old reissued stuff from like Poison Idea and all kinds of rad bands.
Right.
You know, so people are still doing it despite the whole shit show that is the music game these days.
Yeah. Yeah. There's DC Jam Records that, you know, just put out the new Addicts album.
Yeah.
He's got JFA and you know, a bunch of really good people on this label. There's Warbird Entertainment, which is putting out just some great, you know, but these are small labels, and that's how it gets done, you know. I think
the worst
thing that could have happened to punk rock was when large labels got involved, you know, and now you got Epitaph. you know.
Oh my God! Don't get me started. They crushed it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They. I mean, there's a handful of decent bands still there, you know.
Right.
But
well,
the majority of it is a fucking joke.
You probably remember when Victory was an actual good label.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and put out good, what I call hardcore, not what some people are calling hardcore today.
No, no. Well,
some of that. Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's good. It's just, you know, I'm just showing my age, man. The kids like it.
Right. Right.
All right, cool.
Well,
you know,
I want to play a song by Bobby Hollywood and the Quitters, and I believe we have Dave on the other line. So let me start this, and then when we get back, we'll have Dave on with us.
Okay.
Okay. This is Bobby Hollywood and the Quitters with All Fucked Up. Punk. We are joined by Ian, who is the one of the owners of the record label Chapter 11, and now we're joined by Bobby from Bobby Hollywood, or Bobby Hollywood. Bobby, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm good.
Now, Bobby, first, tell us who's in the band. Introduce your band to us, please.
Got Jamie, he's a guitar player, and Nate, he's a guitar player, and Rich Webb, bass player. He's a guitar player for Roadside Bombs as well. And John Kozak is the drummer, and he was in The Randoms.
Okay. All right. Now, how did you guys first start out? How did you meet and first start out?
Nate. I got out of rehab, and Dave picked me up, and we started a band. Yeah. Pretty awesome. Just wanted to have fun, man, so we started playing some music.
Now, you guys are out of Sonoma, California, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, I was talking to Ian earlier, and, you know, Sonoma seems to have a very incestuous music scene. Do you guys, you know, are there a lot of bands that, you know, are playing together and separately in Sonoma?
Yeah, we played for a long time. Yeah, us and Roadside Bombs.
And Chicken Thieves. And
Chicken Thieves from Petaluma.
Yeah, man. Randoms, we play at the Randoms. They use some of our guys. And yeah, pretty much we all mix it up.
Are you hearing that?
Now, have you guys, have, you know, different influences, or, you know, was this you guys have pretty much the same influences that you brought to the band, or?
You know. Heroin and crank, pretty much, are the influences.
Oh, fuck.
It's Slayer.
It's Slayer. I don't know, man. All the old punk rock stuff that we all listened to when we were kids, pretty much. I don't know, mostly California punk rock.
A lot of rock and roll.
A lot of rock and roll. AC/DC. Oh, no, Dave, what are you into?
I'm into G.G. Allin.
G.G. Allin, yeah.
You got the whole band here right now. We're at practice, so.
All right, well, okay, since you guys are all old-school punk rockers like Ian and I, how did your families feel when you started getting into it? Because back then, you know, it was devil music, you know?
Yeah, my mom didn't like it very much when I brought home the Dead Kennedys album. She didn't like that.
Was it the Frankenchrist with all the penises?
No, it was one with the... It was in God We Trust.
Okay.
Right. I think.
Yeah.
My
cross
parents.
On it, right?
I think that was Frankenchrist. Wasn't it with the cross on it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Jesus on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I brought that home, my parents took all my clothes, burned them all, made me go back. Because I went to Catholic school, and they made me start going to church more often. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that was going to help.
That sucks. We went to Snow Valley High with Cowboys.
What's that?
We went to Snow Valley High with all the Cowboys.
And
Ian.
Yeah,
that
Ian
was fucking
there too.
Horrible. That was horrible.
The Waxers.
The Waxers.
Was it so? Small was town. It difficult? I mean, you guys had to be in the minority at that point then.
Oh.
Yeah, there was this group of hicks. They were called the Waxers that sat at the square, the park downtown, and they waxed their cars and stuff. And we hung out in the park, and we had to get past them to go to the liquor store. And so it was like a fucking task.
Right.
Every time we wanted to go get some beer. We got chased.
So, Frank, like Dave and all of these guys, we all, and Roadside Bombs and Randoms, we all went to high school together, and we all grew up together. And, there was this park in downtown Sonoma where we would all ditch school and just go hang out and drink beer all day.
Right.
And that was kind of the starting of it, I believe.
Yeah.
A lot of skateboarding and drinking.
Yeah.
Was there anything else to do, though? You know, that was my entire world when I was a kid.
Right. There wasn't much else to do. There was a handful of girls that we all hung out with.
Yeah. The Ski Betties.
Right? The Noma girls.
Yeah. We used to call them the Two Cooler Gang.
The Randoms actually sing a song. Noma girl.
Ian and I talked about this earlier, but, you know, since you guys are, you know, old school like us, what do you guys think about the current, I don't want to say trend, but, you know, like punk rock nowadays, it seems like they're afraid to take on politics. They're afraid to take on, you know, what they see around them. It's more packageable. It's, you know, the worst thing that could ever happen to punk rock was when they called Blink-182 a punk band.
Oof.
You know.
Would you call that a punk band?
I'd call it absolute crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys feel that, you know, the bands nowadays shy away from any kind of political punk or you know, have really much of a message?
Everybody's trying to make happy music these days. It's not the angry shit that we all grew up with.
Right.
It's all feel-good music, which is just, it doesn't...
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't bode well with anybody. It's for the little 14-year-old kids that have everything. It's just, they never grew up in the gutter. I'm sure there's a few of them, but, you know, around here, a lot of us, our folks weren't rich. Everybody we grew up with was hooked on drugs at one point or another. You know, there was nothing really happy about us growing up besides us hanging out together, getting drunk together pretty much.
Forming bands.
That's about it.
Forming bands for over 20 years.
Now, what were some of the bands you guys, you know, started with, some of the bands that you played in over the years?
Nate, I was in the Cadavers, the Scabies, the Itch, 22s, now Bobby Hollywood and the Quitters, and Johnny.
John started out in the Randoms, played in the Muggers with bands from Roadside Bombs and Johnny and Scott from the Bodies and the Brain Eaters. Jamie and I are Misfits tribute band, and Richard, and Bobby Hollywood and Quitters. And a short stint with Dan Heller from Toxic Lob.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a whole nother radio show.
Jamie, you got a...
How did you come up with the name Bobby Hollywood and Quitters?
Well...
Sorry, did we come up with that name, Dave?
Okay. So we were the Quitters, and there's another band called the Quitters, and I think they're from Vegas.
There's another 14 bands.
Yeah, right. But there's one in Vegas, and they're
a little more established.
Yeah, and I think they might like play with Blink 182. So. So we put Bobby Hollywood on the front of it, and
where'd you get the name from?
I thought Bobby Hollywood kind of sounded scummy. So,
and Dave is Bobby Hollywood.
Yep. And so I am Bobby Hollywood. It's pretty dirty.
No, I like the name. It's a good name.
Thank you.
Now, tell us about your album that you guys have out on Chapter 11.
About it. We like making it.
Angel Lady wrote a couple songs. My wife wrote most of the lyrics.
Yeah. That's about it.
All
I guess,
right.
For that.
We recorded a record. That's about it.
Yeah. It took us a while to do it. We went through a bunch of, we started out with a different guitar player, a different bass player, a different drummer, and the drummer couldn't sit still on his stool, which had fallen off it. And
the stool is a metaphor for the wagon.
And the fucking one, the one guitar player just couldn't play the fucking guitar. And and therefore, Nate called me and said he was getting out of rehab and he needed some help. And so I figured I'd help him out and give him a spot. And
all right.
I picked up another guitar player, Jamie, and then we went and recorded some music and put out the record. Ian actually put out the record.
All right, well, guys, I want to play another song by you guys, and we'll say say goodbye. But I really like what you guys are doing. I'm really impressed with the record label, but I'm really impressed with, Bobby Hollywood and the Quitters. I want to play Crime. Could you tell us a bit about the song before I play it?
A bit about it?
Yeah, just a bit about it before I play it.
Jerry Atkinson wrote it. it's about keeping your significant other happy in whichever way. Robin Banks. Shit.
All right.
Basically telling her husband that she doesn't have enough and wants him to go out and get some more work.
Basically telling me I need a side job.
All right. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on, and I'm definitely going to try and get you guys back on at some point.
Thank you.
Right,
thanks for having
All
us,
right.
man.
Thanks,
Frank.
All right.
Thanks,
guys. See you later. I'm going to play... Bobby Hollywood and the Quitters. I'm going to play Crime, and then I think we have Dusty on the other line, and we'll get into Stellar Corpses.
Awesome. You want me to hang out, or are we good?
Yeah, no, you can hang out.
Awesome.
Okay. All right, this is Bobby Hollywood and the Quitters with Crime. Okay, that was Bobby Hollywood and the Quitters, and like I said, they are on Chapter 11 Records. You can find Chapter 11 at Chapter 11 Records. You got to spell out the word 11 Records on Facebook, and Bobby Hollywood and the Quitters also have a Facebook page. We're going to play right now, though, a song that's getting a lot of plays on Faction on XM Radio. That's how I first heard about these guys, and then I happened to look into them, and I found they were on Chapter 11, so I was really pleased to be able to get Emilio is going to be on. But this is Stellar Corpses with Dead Star Drive-In. As soon as this finishes, we'll have Ian rejoining us and Emilio from Stellar Corpses. Okay, that is Estella Corpse out of Santa Cruz, California. And we are joined right now, Ian rejoins us, and we are joined by the guitarist, Emilio. Emilio, thanks for joining us tonight. How are you?
Emilio.
Hey. How you doing?
I forgot to turn his mic on. Sorry. Emilio, thanks for joining us tonight. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Great, great. Now, Emilio, tell us who's in the band. Who's in Stellar Corpses?
Myself, I play rhythm guitar, and we have a brand new lead guitarist named Jackie Partida. And so she's the newest addition. Dustin Sheehan sings, and Kyle Moore is our drummer, and our upright bassist is Dan Lamont.
All right. Now, you guys, you know, there's a lot that can be said about, you know, psychobilly is a very broad range, but and listening to your stuff, I wouldn't call you guys necessarily psych. I mean, if they had to pigeonhole you, yeah, you could say psychobilly. But you guys have a lot of different. It's a very complex band and a very complex sound. What would you, you know, would you describe yourselves as psychobilly, or how would you describe the Stellar Corpses?
You know, we kind of get we got lumped in with psychobilly because we do have an upright bass, and I would say when the band first started, it was a little more towards psychobilly. But I always think of us as more of like a punk rock band that happens to have an upright bass with psychobilly and rockabilly influences on some of the rhythms. But I wouldn't tell somebody we're a psychobilly band. I love psychobilly, but I wouldn't call us psychobilly.
I like how you put that. Yeah, it's, it seems like anybody that's got a squeeze box or violin is a, you know, is a an Irish punk band. You know, okay.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's everybody's ska that had a, you know, had a dancing guy on the stage. It seemed.
Sure, or a tie. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
And I always
the damn.
I always hate having to put it into a box or try to explain to a stranger or somebody who doesn't know the scene very well, like, what kind of genre Stellar Corpses is. It's always a pain in the ass to me. So I just say, I don't know, fucking punk.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, when I listen to your music, it's I would say more, it's definitely more of a political, punk rock-leaning band. You know, you guys... Yeah, you happen to have an upright bass, but it doesn't mean you're any less punk or any more punk than any other band.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I never understood the power of the upright bass until I was involved in a band and saw how cool it is visually and the rhythms and just when it's mic'd well and EQ'd well, so powerful.
Yeah, Dan does a very good job playing it so you can hear it. It's not just the ticka 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 ticka, you know. You can hear the notes that he plays, and
Dan is pretty funky for a white guy. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, the thing that stood out for me, Frank, with Stellar Corpses was the fact that they fit on a psychobilly bill. They play with Tiger Army just fine, and then again they can play with, you know, punk rock bands, and they can play with, you know, whatever. They fit across the board, which
yeah.
is kind of rare with a lot of psychobilly bands, because they do pigeonhole themselves and they do only go one direction, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a great advantage we have, that we can play a psychobilly, rockabilly, or we can play like a punk rock show or even a metal show or just rock. We play it all, but I'll never forget this one show we played in Austin. It was like pretty much strictly like old school rockabilly, and there was a lot of people there, so I was really excited. And when it was our turn to go on, and I turned on my guitar and strummed the first chord, and, you know, pretty heavy distortion, I just saw so many people walk out.
Yep.
I'll never forget that. Just as soon as I hit that open E and a little pick slide or something, it was just over, man.
You're kidding me. So, yeah, that's one thing I do. I have found, at least, there's not a huge psychobilly or rockabilly contingency here in Salt Lake. But they can get pretty snotty and particular about their music.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, and I took no offense, and that doesn't happen very often, but it was just like, I almost was kind of proud of my guitar tone at that moment.
Cool. Now, you guys have been around since 2005.
Yeah.
Had you been in bands before that, or is this your first band, or how did you guys meet?
Yeah. Personally, let me see, I started playing bass
when I was 15 because I had a friend who was really good at guitar, but he kind of told me, like, hey, it'll be easier if you learn how to play bass. And I was always interested, so I learned how to play bass and was in, like, a Misfits cover band in high school with all these older guys, so I thought it was really cool. We'd, you know, drink beers and play Misfits songs, and I fucking loved it. And then I joined another punk rock band where I was kind of, like, the leader and wrote most of the material called Ambivalent. And Ambivalent started to get a following in Santa Cruz, California, and that's when Stellar Corpses started happening in 2005, and I was hearing a lot of buzz about them, about this guy named Dusty, and that they should open for us, so we had them open for us. And I'd watch Stellar Corpses play and see a huge circle pit for, like, Dr. Plainfield, and kids singing along, so I kind of thought, like, this band has it. Like, yeah, they're onto something.
Right. And now, did you guys, so you joined the band after they had been around for a little bit?
Yeah, they were around for a year, mostly as, like, a three-piece, and just kind of, you know, just playing around town, and me and Dusty became really good friends, became friends with all of them, and my band kind of was fading out, so I just picked up the guitar and learned rhythm guitar and auditioned, learned all the songs, and the rest is history.
All right. Now, you guys have toured quite a bit. You know, you've got a lot of buzz. Does the touring take a toll on the band as well as, you know, your personal lives?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Like, tour is so fun, and I always tell people, because in Stellar Corpses, we're all friends, we're all brothers, we get along 99% of the time. So it's kind of like a long sleepover. Like, we have these long drives where we're just working hard, eating junk food, and, like, playing our hearts out, and then, you know, sometimes we'll drive 9 hours to a show, and as soon as the show's done, we'll drive through the night to get to the next one. But, so we're all working hard together, and I think that really has bonded us. But, yeah, it is difficult. Say if you have a problem at home, maybe with your significant other or with a family member, or there's an emergency, it really fucking sucks being across the country, and you can't. All you can do is call or text. It does absolutely take a toll.
Right. And touring isn't easy either. I mean, you guys broke down, what, in Arizona a while back?
Oh, man, yeah, it was the worst. We had this great, I think it was like a 15-passenger van that used to be used for, like, Boy Scouts, and we built bunk beds in the back, and it was just our home. We'd been across the country with it twice, and the third time we attempted it, it broke down in Arizona, and it was our new guitarist, Jackie's, like, first couple days with us on the road, and it just really sucked. We were stuck in this nowhere town in Arizona for a couple days, being like, holy shit, I hope we can get a new van or get this fixed so we can continue.
Now, how many tours have you guys actually done, and how many cross-country tours have you actually done?
I lost track. I tried to count it up not too long ago, and I lost track after 9. But I think we've only been across the country 3 times, maybe 4.
All right. Where are some of your favorite places to play?
Oh, man, for some reason, Denver has always been really, really good for us. Well, it's not some reason. There's great promoters out there, great friends. Word spreads fast. But we go to Denver, and we'll play these shows, and the kids will sing along with every word, and it's, like, it's the best. It's worth a 12-hour drive or however long we took to get there. Places in Texas are really good. Like, we always really like El Paso. And Arizona has been really strong for us, Phoenix, Arizona.
All
right. And now, LA's good, too. LA's good, too.
Now, how did you guys involve, because you played as a four-piece for a long time, right?
Yes.
Now, how did you involve, or how did Jackie get involved?
We were kind of looking to get a new guitarist so Dusty could focus more on just singing and, like, the overall stage presence, so he wouldn't be, like, have to stay in front of a planted mic, so to speak. And, we kind of looked around, and, like, Jackie is unique because she's really young, and she's a female, which I think is terrific. And she's been in local bands for a long time and just been paying her dues and kicking ass. And her other band had opened for us, and she's just, like, a trooper, never complained. So we gave her an audition, and she learned, like, I think, like, 20 of our songs or something, did really well. And then we kind of, like, thought about it for a while, and we weren't really sure. And then we had a big show at Slim's. I think, and I'm pretty sure Dusty just wanted to sing, so we said, okay, we'll trial by fire, but give Jackie a shot and see if she could hack it at the show, and she did great. And the fans love her. Like, I was really impressed because, like, the guys love her, and then you'll see girls, like, in the front row looking up at Jackie and admiring her and being like, maybe, you know, I could do that. That's why I want our fans to feel.
Okay. So what's next for the Stellar Corpses? I mean, you guys have dragged your carcasses across the United States a couple times. What do you guys plan on doing next?
I've been really trying to get our first EP, Respect the Dead, pressed on vinyl to make a really special presentation of that. And we've never pressed that one on vinyl. We pressed Dead Stars Drive-In. And I'm a vinyl fiend. I love it, and I collect it, and I just think it would be a really cool kind of, it's like a love letter to our fans saying, like, we know you love this album. It's been successful, so here's a proper release for that. Besides that, we've been writing some new songs, and me and Jackie and the bassist Dan have been writing and, like, kind of like the skeleton of songs musically and giving it to Dusty to write to. And, but we've kind of been recharging for the past few months, and I really hope next year we start touring again. Our fans are getting restless. I'm getting restless.
Well, and you guys are getting a lot of play. I mean, like I said, I heard you guys on Faction. You know,
yeah.
Well, what was that like? You've had to have heard that. You know, what was that like the first time you heard, oh, holy shit, that's my song?
Oh, it's wonderful, man. I always tell people it's such a trip to, like, you know, have kids in another state that you've never met singing along to a song that you wrote in your room, or, like, hear a song on the radio that you wrote, like, when you were, you know, stuck in traffic or something. It's unreal, and it's something you can't buy with money or college credits or an office job. It's just, it's better than sex. It's killer.
All right. Well, Amelia, I want to let you go, but I want to definitely get you and Dusty back on. I want to do a full hour interview with you guys, if that's possible, if you guys are down for it. Ian, you mind if I do that?
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, I'd love to get you guys back on. So, Amelia, maybe we can talk after this, and we'll set up a time for you guys to come on, and we'll do a full hour.
Yeah, that'd be fun, man. We appreciate the airplay and you guys thinking of us. Thank you.
No worries. I want to finish off, though, at least your segment with Evil Dead. Love this song. Tell me a little bit about it before we play it, please.
I can only talk about the music part of it because Dusty wrote all the lyrics, just his idea to make it Evil Dead. But, like, I'd had those riffs in my head for, you know, since I was in high school, like the chorus riff, I'd had it in my head forever and never gotten to use it. And finally, all the pieces, it's like a puzzle. They all fit together, and the song, to me, it kind of, I felt like I was writing a Samhain song at some parts, and then I wanted a big accented chorus that has those hits on the drums. And it just fucking kicks ass. I think Evil Dead is a perfect example of Stellar Corpses.
Okay. All right. It's funny you said Samhain, because I had Eerie Vaughn on last week.
Oh, awesome. I love him. I love his book.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. All right. Well, Emilio, thanks so much for coming on, and I'll be in touch about doing a full hour with you guys.
Please do. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Ian. I appreciate it,
right.
Guys.
Right on, Emilio. I'll talk to you soon, bud.
Okay. Adios.
See ya. Okay, guys, this
bye-bye.
Is Stellar Corpses. You can find these guys on Facebook. They're on Chapter 11 Records. Like I said, Chapter 11, you can find Chapter 11, spell out the word 11, Records on Facebook. So this is Stellar Corpses with Evil Dead. Okay, that was Stellar Corpses. You can find those guys on Facebook. There was Emilio, who's the guitarist and backup vocalist. So I encourage you guys to check those guys out on Facebook, Stellar Corpses. They are on Chapter 11 Records, which is Chapter 11, the word 11 Records. You can find them on Facebook. We're going to go on in now into some of the Roadside Bombs, a band that I'm very, very impressed with. This is the Roadside Bombs with Bring 'Em Home. As soon as this song's over, we will have Ben and Ian will be rejoining us. With Bring 'Em Home, and you can find those guys on Facebook. But right now we are joined by Ben from the Roadside Bombs. Ben, how are you tonight?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Now, we have Ian on here as well, and Ian and I have been talking a lot about the label. You're also one of the label mates.
I am. I'm apparently I'm the yes man. Yeah, no, I am. You know, sitting around a campfire with Ian at some point, we decided that we should start actually putting music back where we had it and doing what we used to do. So yeah, we put it together a few years ago, and it's going good.
Now, when did you start playing music?
Man, I was the first punk rock band I was in. I spent a summer in L.A. with a buddy of mine named Benny, and this was, I don't know, 81, 82. It was called Batman's Enemies, and we basically did the Batman's theme, you know, and put new words to it. So, you know, that was my first rock and roll band. I had got the ADD, so I can't actually learn how to play an instrument, so I just gotta scream into a microphone. That's all I know how to do.
Now, is there anybody in your family you can point to kind of as your source of talent?
Nah, man. No, my brother and my dad both play guitar, but they probably should have made the decision I did. So, you know, I'm not going to say that that's a talented musical family by any stretch.
He will argue that.
Yeah, he will argue that.
Now, how did you first get hooked up with Ian?
Ian was at the he was at the park, I think, when I got to Sonoma. We moved around a lot as kids, so showed up in Sonoma, back in the early 80s, and he was one of the first guys I met, and we just hit it off. We being in high school together and sitting in gym class with our Walkmans, listening to Social Unrest and Code of Honor and the Dead Kennedys and whatever else, you know, we could get our hands on, living the dream.
You know, remember, we used to record Maximum Rock and Roll on the cassette tapes.
Right. I remember the cassette tapes, and I remember Walkmans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, when did who were some of your earliest influences, and have your influences changed over the years?
Not as much as you'd think. Well, that's not true. So the first mixtape I got from a guy in L.A., a buddy of mine, Thomas Siegel, who was putting out Ink Disease magazine back in the early 80s. There was Flipside, there was Ink Disease, and Maximum Rock and Roll were pretty much the three constants.
Yep.
So anyway, so he made a mixtape for me, and on that mixtape it was Bad Brains and Stiff Little Fingers. And between those two, I pretty much fell in love, you know.
Right. And I remember that.
And I guess to say that they haven't changed much, I mean, in the last 10 or 15 years, you know, I've always liked rock and roll. I've always liked your AC/DC, and I mean, who doesn't
right.
like it? You know, a guitar, you know, I mean, and good guitar playing and good songwriting. So, in the last 10 or 15 years, you know, I've been way more open, you know. Early on, if you could hear it on the radio, I didn't want to hear it. Like, even
right.
Clash early on, I was like, oh, they play that on the radio, that's not punk, you know.
Right,
like,
right.
Punk to me is what you hear at the party, at the show, you know. Some guy, you could know him. He could be a guy down the street or whatever. And so what it did for me, though, in the end was that there was a whole shitload of music that I never even, you know, listened to that in the last 10 or 15 years that I've really gotten into. So rock and roll, more rock and roll stuff, some country stuff, and a lot of the punk rock stuff that I didn't think was punk back then, you know.
Right. You know, I'm going to ask a question that Ian said that you would have some very interesting responses to. And he and I briefly touched on it. Being that, you know, we're both 45, and I know that, you know, you've been around for a while as well.
Sure.
Do you miss the politics of punk? Do you feel that a lot of these punk bands have shied away from that and aren't making, you know, political or punk with a statement anymore?
Well, I kind of feel like what's going on there is that if you're you know, too polarized in any, either direction, if you have too strong of an opinion, I think the opinion of these bands is that you're then going to lose a large section of your record buying and T-shirt buying audience. And,
right.
you know, as soon as a art form or music or whatever, as soon as it becomes, you know, for commerce, and the point of it is commerce and making a dollar, you know, it's going to the dilution will start there, and it'll only get, you know, only continue. And then, you know, you make the first dollar, and then you say, well, how do I classify, gentrify to make, you know, to make it, you know, even make the next couple of dollars. And I think you see with a lot of bands, you know, the first couple of songs, couple of albums are great. And then they said, oh, well, we had a couple of pop tunes in there and people really dug them. And, you know, I think we could probably sell a few more if we got more and more popish, you know. I'm a big fan of those bands, melodic bands like your early on, like your Descendants and
right.
And Adolescence and bands like that, you know, that had that sort of songwriting already, melody and that kind of stuff. But you know, the content was still cool, you know. Whereas, you know, if all you're, you know, if all you're singing about is another drunken night, you know, sure, there's, you know, and I'm not trying to disqualify, because, you know, I've had plenty of drunken night, but, you know, at some point, you know, we've heard that song, you know. So.
Yeah. That's all Gangrene sung about. They built a whole career on
exactly.
Singing about drinking and drugs, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And that's real. I mean, you know. You know, if it weren't for drinking and drugs, you know, I probably would have been in different bands. You know, I probably would have been, you know, doing other stuff. But there was something about that nihilistic, there is something about that nihilistic sort of, you know, thing that punk rock has that I don't know about the rest of you, but it draws me right in, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it, you know, drunken nights, it makes for more honest music, too.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, are there any bands that you know, besides the label, are there any bands that you're excited about that you've seen that you know?
I'm a huge Street Dogs fan. Oh. I'm beside myself. I see, like, I mean, I've never, you know, when you see somebody playing the music that you already are predisposed to, and then doing it with such honesty and such, you know, depth and just absolutely putting himself out there, you know, just like, and not caring that, you know, maybe melodic, singy sort of, you know, music is what's going to be the absolute, you know, whatever. And he just does it for, you know, he does what you know, comes to him, and it's, to me, it's amazing. And, well, there's a bunch of bands that I really like. I'm a big Young, I mean, obviously they're on our label, but I'm a big Young Idea fan. And everything that Big Chuck has done, you know, he was, Whiskey Rebels before, which is an amazing band, and I still like all the classics, man. I can't get enough, you know, of your Stiff Little Fingers and your Cox Bar and all that kind of, you know, stuff.
Right.
I've got a new policy that I'm trying to adhere to, and is if there's more than 300 people there, I kind of don't really want to go.
Yeah, I mean, you know. There were some early punk rock shows, not early, there were some shows that I went to in L.A. that were at, you know, at the, I forget what the giant arena downtown, and it was the first one that I went to that was like that, and it was like one of these international punk shows, and there were like 4,000 people in there, and there were like four different pits in there, and I early on I was like, this, once again, this is starting to get into what's, you know, lose the appeal for me, because what I want is to be crammed into a basement with about 100 guys,
yep.
drinking beer and rocking out and
witnessing the honesty, like at the Street Dog show, right up front.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. A 10 by 10 basement with 100 sweaty guys in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mosh pit and the
drum being
taken out. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, who does most of the writing for you guys? Do you do all the writing for the band?
I write all the lyrics. I write all the words. I generally show up with, you know, some words that I've been kind of humming and trying to, you know, put some melody to, and then I'll spout a little bit of it to the guys, and hopefully, you know, we come up with something pretty quick, because we're quickly moving on to something else. we don't record nearly as much as we write. Like, you know, we've got, I don't know, maybe a dozen recorded songs or something, and you know, we've always got something new going on. So we actually are trying to get in the next couple of weeks and put out a full length of, which is going to have basically everything that we haven't released, so that we can, you know, put those behind us and move on. So,
is it hard for you guys to record and everything, being that, you know, you guys all have jobs and everything?
It absolutely is. You know, it's. You know, coordinating is the toughest part for any of us. You know, everybody wants to be part of, but it's tough. You know, it's tough. Everybody's got, you know, pulled in different directions. But I don't think that's why we haven't done it. I think more because, for me, you know, that live experience. I mean, this is a hobby for me. You know, I mean, as much as I enjoy it, and as much as I think if I you know, the more serious and the more, you know, pressure to get, you know, to get it recorded and just right, you know, the less I enjoy it, you know. So I think more for us, the reason we haven't recorded so much is because it just hasn't been a priority. But I'm starting to, as I get on here a little bit with the band, I want to get some of this stuff down and then keep moving, you know.
Right. Now, how do you guys, and I ask this to both of you, do you guys, like, let's say, Ben, you're out with the Roadside Bomb somewhere, and you have a band that opens for you, and you're like, man, I really like those guys. Do you then call Ian and say, hey, I really like these guys, and is this a group effort that you decide on bands for the label, or do you kind of just say, hey, send me your stuff, and then we'll see?
Ian can answer that better, but I would say, yeah, absolutely, it's a group effort, you know. But
yeah.
All the bands that we've done so far has been like, you know, hey, you know, what's his name's in this great new band? You got to check him out, type of deal.
Right.
And then somebody gets a song, MP3 sent to him, and then everybody's on board, and off we go. I mean,
I think the only band recently that falls into the holy shit, I just saw a band is Custom Fit.
Right.
You know, like,
exactly.
I went to their show and called Ben immediately, I think the same night. Like, fuck, you got to see these guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
But like you
that
said, we've got a personal connection to each and every band. We're friends first, you know?
Okay.
Like, all the records that we've put out, in fact, all the way back, way, way, way back, you know, we put out the Tiger Army first 7-inch, and everybody was like, what are
oh,
you
wow.
doing with the psychobilly thing? Like, you know, they're great dudes. They're good buddies, you know?
Yeah, and they were those guys were digging their own grooves, man. They've got their
yeah.
own thing going on back then, you know?
Yeah.
And went on to greatness. I was thinking that while you had Emilio on there that, you know, I'm really stoked on the Stellar Corpses because, I mean, they could be on a real label, you know?
They could.
You know, but they, you know,
they
they're great
could.
Guys, and really Dusty just, you know, I think he loves this, the grassroots, you know, part of making records so much that, you know, that's where he chooses to do his stuff, you know?
Yeah. It's fun working with them. And like you said, Dusty is fast becoming a really, really good friend. And, you know, there's so many bands out there. I wish we just had what I call fuck you money that we could just put all of our friends' records out, you know?
Right.
But it's expensive, and we don't sell a lot of records.
Yeah.
Now, when you guys started, you know, well, what was it like to hear, and how did Stellar Corpses get on Faction, and what was it like to hear them on XM Radio?
You know, I don't – Dusty handled that. He's pretty savvy with the networking for Stellar Corpses. I'm impressed. He'll be like, hey, we're doing this and we're doing that, and we got this crazy show that we're playing in New York. I got to go tomorrow. He's constantly working that angle.
It's neat. That's how I describe it. It's really neat.
We as a label actually had nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Very cool though.
It is. I mean, I remember hearing it, and then when I contacted you first, Ben, you know, and said, hey, I want to get you guys on because I saw the comp that you guys were on.
At United East End?
Yeah, and I was really impressed with what
I think you're talking about that Cashing In on Christmas, the Black Hole record.
Cashing In on Christmas.
That was a good time. That was funny because, you know, the guys in my band, you got a couple of, one of the guys is in Screeching Weasel, one of the other guys is from The Bodies, and the other guys are kind of metalheads. Well, that's not true. One of the other guys is a band called The Burdens, which was a really great skinhead type of, you know, punk rock band a few years back. I fucking forgot where I was going with that. Sorry.
Christmas song.
Oh, Christmas song. So they were not the least bit interested in doing a poppy Christmas song, you know. But so what I did was I kind of wrote it. I had, like, you know, basically the whole, you know, chorus and most of the verse all written before I showed up, and then, you know, and then the music wrote itself. And Brett from from a Black Hole, you know, approached us about it, and it just turned out great. And on there with some amazing bands, got Evil Conduct and Harrington Saints on there, and just, you know, a bunch of really, really great bands.
Right. Now, do you guys have any plans on releasing any kind of a comp or anything on Chapter 11?
You know, we do those free download comps just because, like I said, money. You know, I would love to do, like, vinyl 12-inch comps with all our bands and everything. It's just any releases we can put out, I like to dedicate more to a full release from a band. We have been actually talking about starting. Remember a while back when Youth Brigade did those split band 12-inches for a while?
Right. Yeah.
On BYO. I really like that, you know, because a lot of bands don't have enough material to give you a full length.
Right. Yeah, but they got five or six nice, really good songs, you know.
Right. Right. And you know, if we can start putting those out, Ben and I have been talking a bunch about that, how if we can start putting split 12-inches out and pair bands up with other bands that aren't playing together every weekend, You're gonna cross draw some people and show them some of their music, you know.
Right. And when you said earlier, I was listening in, and you said earlier that Sonoma has got an incestuous music scene. That's an understatement, man. I mean, like for 10 years, 15 years or something, there were 8 guys in 20 bands. You know.
Yep.
The crowning victor, of course, was Bodies. They were, you know, they were probably the single best, you know, combination, or at least single, you know, most, you know, beloved combination. But it's a very, very small town, and growing up in a tiny little town like that, you know, I'm sure this is true across the country. You glom on to you know, the other like individuals in your group, you know, in your area. And so, yeah, it was a very, very tight little scene for a very long time.
Now, what can we expect from the Roadside Bombs? You guys going to tour, new album, you know?
I'd like to tour behind this new album. We're going to put it out on Chapter 11 and Longshot has talked about backing a couple of the songs. But anyway, we're going to put out this 12 song, I think, LP at the beginning of next year. I'd like to tour behind it, even if we just go as far as, you know,
Salt Lake City.
Down. Salt Lake City, right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so, I do you, Salt Lake City, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen is after this your show here, Frank, and our flood of calls and orders come through, we're going to take all those riches, all those millions of dollars, and put them in the studio and put out their record.
Right, right. I was alluding to there's a new have you heard of this Under One Flag 7-inch subscription
thing? Oh, yeah.
Anyway. It's coming out anyway. Longshot's going to be putting on the same couple of songs that we put on the Under One Flag series. So you can look for that before any of the rest of this stuff, you know, hits the airwaves.
Yeah, no, it's you guys have a great sound. And how would you describe? I mean, I hate pigeonholing punk rock bands, and we talked to Emilio about this. You know. People love to call those guys psychobilly. I would not call those guys psychobilly. I'd call them a good punk band. You know, Cellar Corpses, I think, is just a really good punk band. Other than that, I mean, would you guys call yourself anything more than, you know, just a really good punk band?
Well, I wouldn't, man. You know, I mean, for me, punk rock is a, you know, it's a sub-genre of rock and roll. And, you know, we're a punk rock and roll band. You know, that's what we are. I mean, you know, if you listen to us, you'll see there's a certain amount of vocal harmony and stuff like that, and there's a whole lot of grindy punk rock, and there's a lot of, you know what the key for punk rock for me has always been is, you know, the gall to just get out there and do whatever it is that you want to do in the music, and not, you know, not try and fit any of the molds, and not try and, you know,
care.
Okay, I'm gonna dress the part, and I'm gonna play the right chords, and I'm gonna play them in the right order. and, you know, and then I'm going to be that punk rock band that, you know, I used to like. It's,
right.
It's get out there and do whatever sounds good. And if you end up sounding like some other band, great. But, you know, the point is, for me anyway, has always been, you know, do your own thing, be an individual, you know, and get what you need to say out there, because, you know, you can't let, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, to your liver and not get it out. I mean, a lot of stupid shit that needs to be, you know, expunged from your heart and soul every day. So.
Right. Now, as the person who writes most of the music, is this a lot of stuff? I mean, do you write constantly? Is this a lot of stuff you've had in your head for a long time?
I write something, just about something every day, whether it has, you know, it has any, it's going to end up in music or, you know, just, you know, I just kind of write short, you know, blurbs and short stories and things like that. You know, I write
Coleman
something
sense.
Every day. Yeah, exactly. I got a series of one-liners called Coleman Sense that I post to Facebook all the time. but yeah, man, you know, some stuff is like, you know, emotional crap, you know, about, you know, love and hate and kids and stuff like that. And a lot of it is just, holy shit, did you see what happened in the news today? You know?
Right.
And so, yeah, man, you just kind of get it out there, man. Get rid of it. You know, you don't want to hold on to shit that if you're walking around going, the fucking, they're screwing us and they're spending our money in a way that we don't like. They're doing this, they're doing that. You don't ever get it out, you know, then you end up shooting up a shopping mall or something, you know, and we don't want that. So.
Right. Well, Ben, it's absolutely been a pleasure, you know, talking to you. You have anything, you know, the floor is yours. Anything you want to say, any shout-outs, any thank yous, anything, floor is yours.
I'd just like to thank you for having us on and
sure.
Thank the Northern California rock and roll and punk rock scene for, you know, going out and seeing a band, go watch a band, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming and keep coming, you know, that's the whole point, you know. I mean, I'm not going to talk about how old y'all are, but at someday it'll be too late, you know. So
right.
So come out and see the bands while everybody's still you know, got a bug in their butt. So
all right, I want to finish off at least this segment with Tax Revolution. First off, Ben, I got to tell you, and I'm very impressed with Roadside Bombs. I'm very impressed with what you guys have done. And I really like, it was hard to pick the songs I wanted to play. Tax Revolution, I love this song. I love Bring 'Em Home. But could you tell us a bit about Tax Revolution, what it's about, what it means to you, and what you would like people to take away from it?
You know, just don't accept everything you hear, you know. You know, here we are. And the beginning of a new millennia, and you know, taxes are getting higher every day. You know, you're paying more. They're calling the government wants what they, you know, they want more every day. And it's a song about wondering how far it's going to go. How far is it going to go? I mean, okay, so one moment, you know. At one moment, it's, I don't know, man. It's more than I can really, you know, get out. It's just about not being able to accept it. You know, don't accept it and get it out. You know, talk about it. So.
All right, we're gonna finish off this segment. This is the Roadside Bombs with Tax Revolution. Ben, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right, this is the Roadside Bombs with Tax Revolution. Okay, that was the Roadside Bombs with Tax Revolution. Like I said, they're on Chapter 11 Records. It's Chapter 11, the word 11, Records on Facebook. We're rejoined by Ian, who is the one of the four owners of Chapter 11. Ian, you guys have a very impressive lineup. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get Sabi on tonight, but we are going to bring her on again.
Awesome.
I think the same night we bring Stellar Corpse on.
That would be great.
You're the one that actually found Custom Fit?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd say found, but out of all the guys in the on the label, yeah, they're from Santa Cruz, and I'm the only one from Chapter 11, besides Dusty now, that lives here in Santa Cruz. And another local band, Good Riddance, was playing. They were playing like this secret, unannounced show at this really small bar downtown. And a friend of mine called and told me the show was happening, and he said that there's this new skinhead band from Santa Cruz playing. And, you know, I've been here a while, and I'm like, what? So let's go check it out. And it was their first show, and they were amazing, you know. And so I approached Sabi, the singer, after the show and asked, you know, if they had anything recorded, and she was just kind of blown away. She's like, yeah, no, this is our first show. We barely put a set together. I just, you know, I kept going to their shows, and I kept, you know, introducing myself. Hey, this is who I am. And as soon as you guys ever want to record anything, I'd love to put it out. And I actually, for my job, I work for Pirates Press out of San Francisco.
Okay. Right.
And we did a split label release on their LP, which is our first LP, first full length on Chapter 11, is this Custom Fit record. And, so I just kept pushing, and I brought it to work, and I'm like, you guys got to hear these guys. They're great. And, you know, finally we're able to get them in the studio here. I actually we have a really nice studio right down the block from my house. It's called Compound Recordings, and we got them in there, and, It's a great record, you know.
Yeah, no, and everything I've heard off the record, I'm very impressed.
Yeah,
you know,
it kind of reminds me of like X-Ray Specs at times.
That's absolutely. I'd agree with that parallel.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of heart was poured into this album.
Yeah,
I mean, these guys really impressed.
I'm hopeful, and you know, like Ben was saying, you know, and we were talking about, we don't make a lot of money. We don't do this. We do this because we, I mean, it's all we know. It's all we've been doing. It's fun, and I'm hopeful that record goes down as one of the good ones, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys have a very impressive lineup, you know, on the label.
Well, I appreciate
it. The way you guys have gone about it, I mean, you just. You pick bands that just, you know, there's nothing but heart and soul in these albums,
right?
At least in my impression.
Well,
so
you know what? I call it my grown-up train set.
Like,
you know, just have fun with it, man. Just like,
yeah.
You know, like Ben said, sooner or later, we're going to be too old, you know?
Right.
Just have fun
with
it. Go see the bands. Go support the small labels. You know, that's why I say earlier, I said, you know, if anybody listening wants any of this music, send me an email. I'll send you the files. You can have them. If you want to support the band or support the label, then buy the record.
Right.
It's that easy.
Ian, it's been a great pleasure getting to know you. We're down to the last few minutes, but I want to finish off tonight with Custom Fit with One Hit Blunder. But let's talk. Let's email back and forth, and let's get these guys on. And, you know, I'm very impressed with your label. I'm really glad that you guys agreed to come on. I was really looking forward to the show, and I'm absolutely
awesome.
Proud of how it turned out.
Well, I had a gas. I was a little. It's been a while since we've done any interviews, you know. So thank you for your time and the attention, and all the players and everybody. It's worthy, you know. We're having a gas.
Well, before I let you go, just tell us where we can find find Chapter 11 online and
awesome.
You know, how they can email you.
Excuse me. Yeah, I can. You can find any Chapter 11 records and our whole catalog at corpitus.com. That's corpitus.com. That's the mail order distro that the label owns and runs, and we carry all of our releases as well as stuff from Longshot Music and GMM and Modern Action and a ton of other labels and some bands and records that you probably haven't heard of because they were released by the band, and it's, like I say, back to that regional stuff, you know?
Right.
So that's where you can find us. Or on the Facebook, just search Chapter 11 or the Randoms, any of that stuff, and you'll the breadcrumbs will lead their way.
Okay. Well, Ian, thanks so much for coming on. I'm going to finish off tonight with One Hit Blunder by Custom Fit, and I will be in touch.
All right, buddy. Thank you, and right. I'll send you off an email.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Have a good night.
All right. All right.
All right, buddy.
Okay, this is Custom Fit with One Hit Blunder. Next week, guys, it'll probably just be music, but very soon, watch for Custom Fit being interviewed as well as Stellar Corpse in the next couple weeks, hopefully. This is Custom Fit with One Hit Blunder.